And welcome in to in-game chat for, and I didn't change my date, Saturday, May the 4th, not on my script anyway, 2024. Hard not to know what day it is when it's nothing but Star Wars around you. Season 18, episode 16. Again, all these things that I need to change. I swear, you think you got everything right, and there's that one little thing that you didn't think of, and that was changing dates on your script.
And I'll say again, it's part of our charm.
I know. And I do this because this is the easiest way for me to keep up with basically our numbering system. What episode this is, and then what episode this is in the season, and what episode it is as a whole. 768, just so you know. Welcome in to, I would call it a Star Wars Day edition of in-game chat. Not like we're going to be talking a lot of Star Wars games. But I will tell you, all of our music comes from Star Wars video games over the years. I did not put these in any kind of chronological order. You're not going to be going in the evolution of Star Wars music and video games or anything like that. It is a mix and match of different things from different games from different time periods. So just to keep that in mind. And all of this came together yesterday. I actually had everything set Tuesday. I had done music. We were good. Everything was set. And then Friday, when I was doing this, the compiling the news together and everything, I realized, oh man, it's Star Wars Day. I should really do Star Wars music. And while I was working on that, I was like, I really should do a Star Wars open, you know, change all that stuff up. And so, yeah, you know, one of those things where you don't realize it until the day before. Which I don't know why I didn't realize it. I am not, and I've said this on the show, I've said this on multiple shows multiple times, I am not the biggest Star Wars fan. I enjoy it, but it is not... I have other fandoms that are bigger than what I have for Star Wars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Comic books being one of them. And you can throw anything in that mix. Video games being the other, but I mean specific to Star Wars? Nah. Mm. And it's not like I'm a Star Trek guy either. Mm. I enjoy both, but I am nowhere near the level of fandom as most people who I know that are fans.
Yeah.
Nope.
Same here. I like them both. They have their moments.
But yeah, but you're not like, yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Like Phantom Menace re-released in theaters this weekend. No desire. None.
Especially if you saw it already.
Right. Well, yeah, there's that. It's been a while since I've seen it. Well, I was working in the theater when Phantom Menace came out.
Okay.
I was working in the theater. God.
So you saw it multiple times then.
Well, yeah. The fun part about the whole lead up to that was that I was working at the movie theater when Star Wars Phantom Menace was being shot and then when it was released as well. So putting the trailer, like you got to understand, this is going back to 99, 2000, mm-hmm. Maybe it was even, I don't remember. It was late 90s maybe. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the chat room who's a massive Star Wars fan is going to correct me on this as to when Phantom Menace released. However, I was working in the theater. So the teaser trailer gets released. And, you know, we get the... And again, somebody else is going to tell me what movie it was attached to. But it had to be attached to that. And when people caught wind of that, like what movie has the Star Wars trailer in front of it, they would come just to watch that. That was it. Because you didn't have... YouTube at the time, you had the internet. You just didn't have, the internet was nothing like what it is.
Not to the degree of what it is now, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, May 19th of 99.
99, okay, yeah. I was working in the movie theater, and I attached that to the print and watching people come in to watch that. I would go down into the theater when the trailer was going to run, because I knew where it was running, and I'd just sit there and watch everybody do, you know, watch everybody enjoy it for the first time. And then the movie released. That was one of the longest days I have ever worked in my life. It started at 9 a.m. and I believe I got home at about 6 a.m. the next morning. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yes. It was. Now I took a break. Yes.
Yeah.
But I had to pull shifts, man. 'Cause we started at 9 a.m. that day Because we open at whatever time. But of course, you know, it was for Star Wars, Phantom Menace and everything else that was coming out. And so the lobby got massively full. We did multiple shows that night on multiple screens. I think we had two or three screens running Phantom Menace, maybe just two.
Many total?
We had eight screens. It was the old East L8.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Old East L8 where it was. And we had multiple screens running it. I just can't remember how many. It was either two or three. We may have had four. I don't think we did.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe later in the day, late at night, because all the other ones didn't get as much.
Well, no, they would fill in. I mean, the thing, they would sell out, and we would add another show. Mm-hmm. And then, so, you know, you had your primetime shows at 7, then you had one at 9, then you had one at, you know, 11. Mm-hmm. Then when that sold out, we did another one at 1 a.m. or something like that, 2 a.m., I'm not sure, but it went around the clock. We did a show at like 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was wrapped up, you know, I had to do closing duties and everything else and got that done and whatever. It was like 5 a.m. when I left, and I probably got home around 6 or so after everything. So, yeah, I was watching the sun come up, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was very strange because it was in the mall, right? I didn't leave the mall. I just went somewhere to like – someplace in the mall, got food, went back to the office, sat down and ate food and stayed in the office and took my break there. I didn't go home and then come back. My point being is that I was inside the entire time. I never got to see that it got dark. It was daylight when I came to work and it was daylight when I left.
Daylight when you left, yeah.
Different shades, but it was daylight.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. It was fun working at the theater when Phantom Menace came out, even though parts of that first trilogy aren't fondly looked upon, from a distant eye. Although actually from a very close eye at that time, people hated Jar Jar. And they still hate Jar Jar.
Yeah.
So anyway, happy Star Wars Day, everybody. Play some Star Wars games in honor. I'm looking at maybe getting some of the Star Wars pinball tables on Pinball Effects. They're on sale, and I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
I was about to ask if there was a special going on with them.
There is. There's a special on like all kinds of Star Wars things on Steam. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are running specials. There was a Knights of the Old Republic, which was Star Wars The Old Republic.
Well, you mentioned KOTOR, and Bam O'Brien was talking about that. Yeah, that was one of the titles that was looked on real fondly.
It was
video game.
Yeah, KOTOR. Yeah. I'm talking about the MMO, Star Wars: The Old Republic, which was an EA MMO thing.
Yeah,
and you know, I took my Republic Commando and went all the way to level 50 with the girl actually, and then I jumped over to the dark side and I played a Sith Inquisitor. And was having way more fun playing the Sith Inquisitor than I ever did with my Republic Commando.
Yep.
Oh, man. Because I think it was BioWare-ish. I think it was very BioWare in your dialogue choices.
Mm-hmm.
The whole menu system looked Mass Effect-y. That may have been prior to Mass Effect. God, that goes back. That goes way back.
So what was it? The fact that Republic was restricted and Sith, you could free to do whatever you want?
You had a little bit, I mean, and you know this, when you play, when games give you the option to, take Infamous, for instance, the first
one. I played that, yeah.
You would have choices, I say you would have choices, but you would have things that you would do which would move that good-bad meter type thing.
Good, evil type, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And if you did certain things, you would be good, and of course you want to finish the game, and honestly, when I'm given that choice in a game, I always play the hero, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to play the hero first, then I'll go back. So I played through Infamous the entire way playing the hero, doing everything that I could to move that meter into the good
part
of things. Yeah. And when I got done, I went back and I started doing the other things.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier to play because you didn't care. You know what I'm saying? When I was playing before, I was making sure that pedestrians weren't getting hurt because that would affect it whenever you were blowing things up or using your powers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you're playing on the other side and you don't care, Who cares? You didn't care. You didn't have to worry about what was going on. And so a little bit of that goes into Star Wars as well, where you're playing a Republic Commando, so you got to be in the good graces of whoever you can be in when you're rescuing prisoners or, you know, doing a, I don't know, all the different things that you could do. Your dialogue choices, you wanted to go into that, you know, I say Jedi side, but the good side and not the bad side. You didn't want, because your face would show effects if you were doing too much of the evil. Your face would have like little effects that you would get in that. And so anyway, it was just a thing. I was playing it for the first time and I was going to play as a hero. So I'm going to do all these things good. And then when I went over to the Inquisitor side, the dialogue options were way more fun because you had really snarky dialogue options or really like Devil May Care type responses or insulting responses. I mean, you were a Sith and you could say whatever you wanted to and it didn't matter because to them, I was playing the hero because they were evil. And so everything that I was doing was, you know, pushing it more and more to that side of the character. And I never finished that playthrough.
Yeah, I think it's with me playing with the option of good or evil, I've always been on the more tendency toward the good side.
Always,
evil
yeah.
side, I've never really either I've started, never finished it, or just didn't go in there at all. But with Infamous, I remember the powers being a lot different between the heroic or the villainous side for that game. Certainly more interesting. I remember one in particular that was a really good AOE effect for the evil side that I don't think there was anything that matched it for the heroic side. So I usually tend to stay away from the choices like that.
It's not a statement of morals, I suppose you could say. It's not something where it's like, oh, that's good, you do the good side. No. It's just it's depending on who I am playing, you know, depending on the character that they give me the option to play, then I sort of role play it in that regard. I sort of, whoever he is the hero of this story. And so let's make him the hero. However, if he can also be played as the villain of this story, then I will return, you know, go back and do it. If all they ever made was a game, and I guess they did, TIE Fighter. But if all they ever did was made a game where you are playing as a Sith or whatever, then I'm still playing it as the hero. I'm just doing exactly what they would do. I'm still role-playing it because they would never do anything good. They're nothing but evil. So I would do the evil things. But yeah, it's just one of those. It's one of those situations given the option. And a lot of games don't give you that option anymore. Role-playing games obviously do because you can, you know, it's your choice. But a lot of games, I mean, you know, Baldur's Gate gives you that choice. I would imagine Dragon's Dogma gives you that choice. I think there's a lot of
There's some games in the Soul series where certain items and things won't take effect unless you do.
Really? They have a good evil meter in Souls?
No, not a good evil meter, but I'm talking about some items and things you can't get unless you do some little kind of dastardly or something bad, like invade all these invade
people
and do this to increase your level in this faction to get this item. So it was like some things I just looked at was like, I guess I'll just have to do without because I don't want to do that.
So right, yeah.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, too, because where you're given that choice, not given that choice.
Yeah.
You're given a reward.
Yeah.
Like, listen, we're going to give you something really good here, but you got to do something really horrible.
Well, think about that. What was that? Super Mario World, where you can just abandon Yoshi to get to that level.
Yeah.
That level of things like that. That's something
like if there was a penalty for that, like if there was some sort of
another option.
Uh-huh.
Is that literally the only way to get to that level is by doing that to Yoshi?
Yeah. You'd do it for the memes, but outside of that, no, if there was another option to do it. But honestly, given how often they throw Yoshis at you, and that's one of the issues. I feel like there's always one Mario, right? But when I played Super Mario World, there were just Yoshis countless, you know? technically, there were Marios countless because, you know, you can get up to 99 lives. There's a lot of Marios. But in a level, you would have numerous opportunities to find a Yoshi.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it just felt like, okay, it's not really a singular animal. It is just a bunch of them, mm-hmm. you know? And there they are. But I don't know. That's my brain trying to figure that out, which is not very good when it does that. It just doesn't work great. Anyway, welcome to the show. I haven't even done intros. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. We're on ingamechat.net. We're on, you know, Twitch. We're doing that. We've got all this stuff. You know what we're doing. And welcome to the show. Before we get into what we've been playing, we'll just go ahead and take the phones right here. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Wow, I am a first-time customer. In-Game Chat, this sounds like a lot of fun. I've never been on before.
Your phone, Crawdad, your phone's cutting in and out for some reason. I'm catching half of your, every other word of what you're saying I'm catching. I don't know why the phone's being weird.
Show.
Oh, thanks, man. Okay. That worked. I don't know why. That one worked. Thank you, buddy. I don't know what happened there. It kept cutting in and out. That was weird.
Our phones have always been a crapshoot, man. It's like 50-50, except Discord.
Yeah, Discord works really well. Yeah. Bama Brian says, I'd like to play Star Wars Squadrons on the Oculus. Just got to get one first. Yeah, I didn't do any. Space in VR of any kind is just really, really cool. I did do the PlayStation VR of just walking around one of the X-Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool to do in VR. I think I played something that was in VR, maybe, that was Star Wars related.
It wasn't TIE Fighter, was it?
No. This was...
Was piloting involved? Because I'm thinking that would be the first go-to for...
Piloting was involved, and yeah. I can't remember what... Maybe they did it in the second Battlefront? I can't remember. Or maybe there was a demo for it or something. But there was one where you flew in space with VR, and it was really cool. Piloting of any sort, space or otherwise, is very fun in VR. Mainly because you just have that freedom. You're in a vehicle, and you have that freedom to look around and, you know, that sort of thing. That's what VR is. It is freedom, basically. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It is Star Wars Day. And AC Wraith, by the way, says, make sure to get the cheap legacy packs if you had them in Pinball Effects 3. They tend to go for less than $2. There is the legacy pack. There's two packs that were available on Steam, and I'll have to look at them again, and I will probably tomorrow, but there is a legacy pack. However, the legacy pack, the bundle that comes in the legacy pack also comes in another bundle that has an extra table in it.
Mm.
So part of me feels like the price is negligible because I'm getting an extra table.
Yeah, well, just get the most for your money.
That's what I'm trying to do. But man, let me tell you, and AC Wraith can probably back me up, they've made that very difficult to do with Pinball Effects.
Yeah.
They really...
I think you've mentioned it before, how the prices are...
They messed it up.
Not what they used to be.
Well, it's not just the prices. It's like, what tables did I have and what didn't I have?
Yeah.
What, like, just AC Wraith right there telling me, get the legacy pack because they tend to go for less than $2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, there's a legacy pack, but then there's these other packs, and they try to mix and match them, and it's just like, which ones do I own? Which ones don't I own? Which ones didn't I own on Pinball Effects 3? I don't know, because nothing there tells you. At least I don't think they do, but maybe it does. But I don't know. It's just, it's gotten really, really confusing. And they also announced that they're discontinuing their... Pinball Pass or whatever it is, something, I can't remember what it was. I hadn't put money into it anyway, so it wasn't
probably not enough people did put money into it. That's why.
It wasn't pertinent enough to me. But they're changing some stuff around there with that one. So, he says
how many tables I got, like maybe four or five, and four of them probably I didn't remember ever getting. So yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want everything to go into, like I said, I've talked about this before, but like if there is a massive Pinball Effects sale at some point, I'll probably save up and just grab all of them just because I want them all in one place, all of them in one place, rather than spread out over Pinball Effects 2, Pinball Effects 3, and now just Pinball Effects. I don't want that. I want everything in one thing, and that's the one I want to stick with and play.
Get one big compilation, make it convenient. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of, what have you played?
For the most part, this week it was MLB The Show 23. Like I was talking about last time, unless I get it on the PS5,
yeah,
I really don't see a reason to get 24 because 24 has the probably going to be like 23 has better features and everything available mm-hmm. for it. A little bit more of a Grand Theft Auto Online, a little bit of Virtua Fighter. I want to get back into playing Elden Ring, and I'll probably be doing it later this week.
Well, Erdtree or whatever coming up, yeah.
Yeah, we got Erdtree coming up soon. And I still want to get my fourth character completed, at least get one good run-through of the story with my fourth character mm-hmm. before getting into Erdtree. So, yeah, and a little bit more Balatro. I haven't beaten the blue deck yet, but I'm getting a lot closer than I used to with the red deck because now I have a pattern and I have a method of getting where I want to be in that game. So, yeah.
Yeah. I finally beat whatever deck I had moved on to. I don't remember.
Magic?
No, the deck before that.
Black?
Green. Was it black or green? I think it's green.
The last regular deck that we got before the fancy ones come out, I think it's a green, then black.
Okay, well, then I beat them.
Ones a lot.
I've beat them both,
okay.
Whatever the case is. I beat the most recent one. And I really can't tell you. I can't remember how I did it. I was going to keep it up there, but I instead played the Endless Mode because I thought, you know what? I got a good one going here. And playing the Endless Mode got me an achievement because one hand scored over 1 million points.
Nice.
Good. Yeah. That was really good. I can't remember how I made it happen, but... yeah, one hand scored over 1 million
really,
points.
Really, really, really good jokers involved.
There were. They're the ones that got me to the end of the game. No problem.
Poly, foil, chrome?
I can't remember. I really can't remember.
Had to have been at least a...
No. Yeah, there were plenty who were giving me, like, whatever, you know, some multipliers or chips or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing a pretty good run with it. I'm just trying to think of what actually got me over the top. I think it was... Oh, it was flushes.
Okay.
It was flushes. I had a ton of, I want to say it was diamonds or something. I can't remember. I had a ton of some suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a multiplier on one of the suits. And the part about that was I also picked up that joker that said hearts and diamonds are the same. Spades and clubs are the same.
Okay.
So I could make flushes out of hearts and diamonds all in my cards. Then I had one of those that would trigger. So I was making sure that it was always whatever that was that counted as two so I could get multipliers on all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was other things on top of it that was going nuts.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now it was an easier beat than what I expected. Now, and I unlocked another deck. I don't unlock anything else until I start beating the decks on the red stake difficulty.
Okay.
So I am working on my red deck with a red stake difficulty now.
Mm-hmm.
Red stake difficulty is...
I want to say one less hand.
No, actually it's not.
But which is it then?
It is you don't earn money on the small blind.
Mm.
That's an interesting difficulty to have. And I did not realize how badly you need that money on the small blind. Now, before you got here today,
yeah,
I was on a really good run and I lost it because I didn't upgrade my hands.
Mm-hmm.
The planet cards didn't come the way they should have come for me to do what I was doing, but I was really rocking it. I did one of those spectral cards.
Mm-hmm.
That said, sacrifice one card, but we will turn all of these cards on display here to one rank. And so it turned them all to fours. So I had 12 fours in my deck.
Yeah, that's a low number, though. So
it is a low number, but I also had three holographic jokers. So that's 30 multiplier right there.
Okay.
Then I had, something else, like three of a kind or four of a kind or something that I was just doing. What I was doing was making sure that my four of a kinds and my three of a kinds were ranked up.
Ranked up, yeah.
but it still wasn't enough. But at the same time, I know what that was. I didn't sacrifice a card to turn them all to fours. I sacrificed a hand size to turn them all to fours.
Mm.
In fact, I got an achievement before you got here
mm-hmm.
because I had dwindled my hand size down to six.
Mm.
Because of all the things that I'd been doing where it's like, hey, we'll give you this, but you're going to lose this. We'll give you this, but you're going to lose this.
Yeah, how much you're willing to sacrifice with
right.
this hand. Yeah.
And when you don't have enough... And hand size is not the hand that you're playing. It's the cards
it's
that
the
you
cards
have to pick
you have
from.
Available. So yeah, it's usually eight. Usually it's eight.
Is it?
I think it's eight, and then you can drop it to seven or six, depending
you,
on...
You can increase it, happens, and you yeah. can drop it. And yeah. I just kept dropping it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a boss blind, is where I lost it, that said minus one hand. So now I'm only working with five cards. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I don't... Wait a second.
Hand or draw size?
No. The hand.
How many hands you could play?
No. How big your hand? Yeah, how many cards are
okay.
in your hand?
Right.
Not how many hands you can play. But I just realized that that's not the blind I lost it on. I lost on the blind that says play five cards.
You have to play five. Okay.
You have to play
I'm
five cards.
I'm trying to remember the name of the thing. I can never remember the name of the things, but I know the...
Or was it the hand size? I don't know because I restarted when you got here and I started going again and I lost again.
Yeah.
So I'm back at zero again.
Whenever I come here and you're playing Bolacho, that's when things go wrong, basically.
Not necessarily. I just thought I was in a good position. And so I figured I was going to, I thought, I'll play a hand or two until he gets here. Boom, I lost. It was the minus one hand size that I lost on because I could not. I could, once you had four fours,
mm-hmm.
It's like I can play this three of a kind, but I can probably get another four to throw in here. And do four of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
But I only have five cards on my table.
Yeah.
So I can only eliminate three. And then if another one comes, okay, but that's not going to get me to my goal. It was nice. It got me up there, but it's not going to get me to my goal.
Yeah.
And now I'm out of discards, and I've only got five cards on my table. So what do? Anyway, I lost.
Start over.
When I started over, I felt like I was doing a good run, but it was way early. And playing five cards killed me.
Yeah.
Because I had unfortunately, I had a joker that would give me a big multiplier or a bunch of chips if I played three of a kind.
12 multiplier?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like you can't, I can play three of a kind, but I never could get three of a kind in there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I had already reset. There was no...
Yeah.
I wasn't messing with a bunch of fours. That Nate that showed up in the chat room right now. God, I haven't seen Nate in forever. I think that is Nate. Yes, because he's a mod and everything else. Hey, Nate. Jesus, man. Wow. Happy Star Wars Day. I haven't seen Nate in forever. Nate used to be on this show many, many, many moons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Played D&D with us. So, yeah. Hi, Nate. Anyway, Bellatro, Talos, Marvel Snap, Monopoly Go, my usuals.
Okay. How far did you get? Have you made any significant progress in Talos?
Talos, I got two more islands left, at least from what I know. In other words, once I do those two islands, what happens next? You know?
A secret one could pop up or something.
Right.
Like that.
Well, there's this main area that involves a megastructure. Which is just really this massive pyramid. And every time you complete an island, you unlock a red, blue, or green laser
mm-hmm.
that hits one of those receiving things on this megastructure. So every three islands, you get to go inside the megastructure. Kind of, unravel the mystery there.
Yeah.
So I did three islands, went in. Came out, did three more islands, went in. So think about a pyramid has four sides. So you've got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You've got to do 12 islands. I have two more to go.
Okay.
I just got to my most recent island. If you want to know what it is West 2, I believe. As I'm going to it, you ride this... it's almost like this mine cart type of thing, or like a monorail.
Mm-hmm.
And go down this tube, and every time you're going once you're going back to the megastructure after you finish an island, and once you go to a new island for the first time, you get dialogue between you and the other people that are with you. And the dialogue going to this next one, something about like, this next place you're going to, pause. Well, you just better see it for yourself. She's like, okay, I'm going there. It doesn't matter. So then as I exit the tube, I see a giant rock hand over like the track that I'm coming out of.
Well, that's not ominous.
It's not, but as soon as I come out of that, there's a giant hand and a giant head. They're not moving, they're just stone features. Mm. Up ahead, more massive stone people.
Mm-hmm.
As I walk around more of this island, I start seeing more of these massive stone structures of people. I have megalophobia.
Mm-hmm.
That hand coming out of that tube was, I felt my heart do a little thing whenever it came out. I was like, oh God. And then I'm looking around, I was like, oh man, that's not good either. I remember going up to one of these mountains and I made sure that I just not necessarily looked at the ground, but just looked straight ahead. Don't look up. Don't look around. A face will just be right there, massive face. And sure enough, I was going up these steps and I thought, no, I'm probably going the wrong way. And as I turn around, massive head. It's just like, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I don't like it. Oh.
In my case, I was thinking one of those hands was going to come hit the track or something's going to fall or something's going to.
Yeah, no, it's nothing like that. Yeah, it's absolutely nothing like that. But it is like a land of giants. And as much as it gives me the heebie-jeebies seeing that stuff, I really do enjoy it. I specifically enjoy it in this mode. If this was VR, I'd have already crapped my pants. No, it gets to me. It really does. I like it, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like, hard. It's like if you have a fear of spiders, but you want to finish Resident Evil.
Yeah,
you gotta soldier on, get through it.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I do enjoy it. But there's some of it I just won't do. Some of it I'll just close my eyes to it because I'm just like, nope, it's too much. But I love it. It's a really weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not specifically afraid of giant things, but they do give me an uneasiness.
Mm-hmm.
They do give me a little bit of a stomach turning situation.
It makes things unsettling.
The closer I get to them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so
you had that same problem with the Land of Colossus or
Shadow of the Colossus. Never did that to me.
Oh, did?
Nope, never did that to me.
Okay.
Weirdest thing.
Maybe the scale wasn't represented kind of like it was in Talos then.
Well, you weren't first person like you are in Talos.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
First person gives a little bit more immersion to it.
Okay.
I'm not in the view of, can't remember his name, the protagonist of Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah. Like, I am not in his first-person perspective.
Okay.
So I am out here. And oddly enough, some of the times the camera would pull back whenever you were on one of those to show you the scale of how small you are and how big this thing is you're climbing.
Mm.
But I'm this far, you know, I'm pulled back from it. I don't get that sense of scale, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel threatening to me because it is not focused on me. It's focused on the character.
Mm.
Whereas this first-person view, the giant stone heads, are like that. They are looking at you. They are positioned in certain ways where you're going to come upon them and, you know, boo.
Yeah.
Nathan92 says, I know it's been many, many moons. Now I am married with a kid and another on the way. Congratulations, Nate. The games I've played since last being on the show is a lot. So, yeah. They do have a third-person mode for Crow Team. They do. I didn't do it, though. I'm kind of glad I didn't, though. That was good. Hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will, I don't know what we'll do, but we got plenty of things lined up. Chris is in the Discord, I see. Nate, we've got Discord, too. If you want to jump into Discord on the in-game chat thing, it's at our website. Go to ingamechat.net. There's a Discord link. I could send one to you if you want to get in on Discord and jump in and be on the show. Would love to have you. But anyway, here is music from Star Wars TIE Fighter. We'll be right back. Oh, and it's the opening, just like we had with the beginning. Oh, nope, it changed. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This is music from Star Wars The Old Republic, the game we were just talking about. Making your own, you know, your choices and playing as Republic or as you know, the Rebels or the Sith. Play as any of those. This track is called Balmora, The Forge. I think it's actually two tracks put together there, but that's what that one was from.
I thought it felt like a boss battle there for a second.
You know, I'm not sure exactly. God, you know what? It has been a long time since I played The Old Republic. Things have changed so much in that game. But I didn't get banned from it. So it's still an option for me to do. I can still play it.
Yeah.
Go back to my Sith ways and go through. That's not a bad idea to think about. Now, I don't know how well it plays now, but... not a bad idea to kind of fire that up, see if I can get back into my old account. See if I can do that. It's on Steam now, so I don't have to sign in through a... God, what was that? EA?
No, third party.
Yeah, I had to sign in through... They had an app you had to sign in through for whatever reason. Kind of like Battle.net has the same thing or had the same thing. I don't know if they still do. But yeah, you had to do... Oh, God, it was annoying. It really, really, really was annoying to do that.
Speaking of which, I remember that seeing that story in the news we might get to about unnecessary sign up through this to get to your game.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Helldivers. Why don't we? The Helldiver 2 community was none too pleased when they found out that they were going to have to sign up for a PlayStation Network account. Helldivers 2 is going to require you to link your Steam account to a PlayStation Network account starting, what's today? Monday. Starting Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little fast. I say that, but this news came out earlier this week. Said requirement will roll out piecemeal, by the way. By May 30th, Steam users will be confronted with a login screen, and by June 4th, they'll absolutely 100% need to register a PlayStation Network account. This move, Sony claims, is to protect players from griefing, among other benefits, and was only ever delayed thanks to the state of Helldivers 2 servers at launch. Here's the proper rundown of the change, or more accurately, reinstatement in policy. The community was not happy. People are worried about region locks. PlayStation Network serves around 69 countries at the moment, which is not all of them. They say this article from PC Gamer says it's a great example of Sony putting its foot in its mouth, but this is by far the most legitimate worry surrounding the controversy. Some people don't have access to the PlayStation Network. Specifically, there's a tweet. Maybe it's a Twix. I don't know. What do you want to call it, Bama Bryan?
A post.
Specifically, there is a picture of somebody getting a notification that says PlayStation Network is not available in the Philippines. It's outright not there.
Mm-hmm.
Steam is. Steam's available in the Philippines.
So you can see the problem already.
You can play Helldivers 2 with your Steam account, but there is no PlayStation Network in the Philippines that this person can sign up for.
Yeah.
There are a lot of countries in which you cannot get the PlayStation Network.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do for them?
Exactly.
And if you do allow them to play without a PlayStation account, now you're going to have, wait a minute, if they can do it, why do we have to? So you got problems. You got it to lose situation.
The article goes on, considering players from these countries will have previously been able to play the game and could have reasonably missed the section of the game store page that said it required a PSN account, it is a nightmare customer service issue. If you lie about it, Sony is technically within their rights to ban you, according to its terms of service. One player called attention to the issue on the game subreddit, saying Sony must find a solution for this, and it can't be lie about your credentials and risk that we might ban your account. In other words, it's like I did when I bought Spider-Man 2 on the Japanese store. I created a Japanese account to buy it on the Japanese store. They could easily ban that account if they wanted to. If they were able to, you know, look into it and say, hey, you made a fake account, we're going to ban that account. It'd be fine. I'd still be able to play that game on my regular account, but I wouldn't be able to buy any kind of download DLC or anything. I'd be off that. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
The game's been thrown into the grinder on Steam, too. Over the course of one day, over 10,000 negative reviews have flooded in.
Yep.
That number is set to grow over the coming hours, and at the time of writing has knocked the game's recent reviews into mixed territory. There's been a lot of conspiracies flying around to the tune of Sony wanting to sell your data or just to boost the PSN numbers. I honestly, just like this guy, he doesn't attribute malice to what can be explained by stupidity. But this is something we knew about. In other words, when you bought the game, there was something in its end user license agreement that said, you know, this requires a third party account, PlayStation Network. They didn't do it because the servers had so many problems when Helldivers 2 released. And now they're going back to initiate that. Best should have left it alone, man. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You know, that or not sell the game in countries that can't sign up for a PlayStation Network. You know? I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't know what they're going to do. Given everything that we've just read about how fast they're moving on this timeline, there's no way they're going to be able to open a store in all of these other countries that these people are playing. So I don't know what they're going to do. The handling from Sony has clearly been catastrophic. A huge part of the problem, as Arrowhead Games community manager writes, is that the development studio, while knowing about the shift, didn't craft the statement itself. We're chasing Sony to get more info regarding the region locking issue that was written on Discord in the middle of a swarm general chat that's gone full Lord of the Flies. Arrowhead Games CEO Johan, whatever the last name is, has also issued a statement on Twitter directing players towards Sony support. If you have any further questions, you can reach out using the contact PlayStation support at the bottom of the page. One can't help but wonder. Oh, this is not his quote. One can't help but wonder whether the studio itself was given much advance warning. In other words, were they given any kind of warning about this?
Everybody's
going after the studio, but man.
Yeah, don't cuss me out, but talk to Sony.
This is totally Sony.
It's like that issue with Stellar Blade, remember?
Uh-huh.
The shift up said the game was going to be uncensored, but the game's on a Sony system. And Sony put the patch out that censored their game. So it's not shift up you want to be looking at. It's Sony you want to be looking at right now.
It is. It really is. And that's just such a, man.
A lot of non-customer friendly decisions that's been going on lately. But with the Helldivers, like you said, the notice was out there, but I didn't hear anything about server problems really while it was in its heyday.
Right? I did when it released, yeah.
Okay, no. When it released.
But when it released, yeah. It was having problems keeping up with demand.
Okay.
And so they apparently did away with the registering for PlayStation Network thing or whatever the case may be. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember it ever being required, but obviously it was in the fine print. Mm-hmm. And I'm only saying fine print as being like it was somewhere written down. Whether it was fine print or not, I do not know. I don't believe it was because the way a Steam page works, they will tell you if it requires. They will tell you if it has.
Requirements, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll give you an idea. It'll tell you on the sidebar, like, does this work on the deck? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does this have third-party monitoring software? You know, note anti-cheats mm-hmm. type stuff. It'll tell you if it's got that in there. It'll tell you if it requires. This requires a Ubisoft account to play or an EA account to play or something like that.
Yeah.
It'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. And so it should. I mean, if I go to the Steam store right now, that's I was about to write Heck Divers. Helldivers to Steam. I just want Steam. Just take me to Steam because I want to see where this is written. Not that it even matters at this point, because obviously they've stuck their foot in it, like he said.
Yeah.
Wow. Currently, all reviews are mixed, but the recent reviews are mostly negative.
Yeah.
Boy, when you do the fan base, man, when you do them wrong, they will do you wrong fast.
Yep.
There we go. So right on the side, you only have to scroll down just a bit where it tells you it incorporates third-party DRM, and it tells you what it is, InProtect GameGuard. Requires agreement to a third-party EULA, end-user license agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Requires third-party account, PlayStation Network. And then in parentheses, supports linking to Steam account. So, I mean, it's there. I don't know how long that's been there because I haven't paid attention to that, but it is there.
I wasn't picking up the game, but we heard enough about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have any chance to look at the fine print.
Yeah, and the second part of that is I'm not saying that that makes things legally it covers Sony, but that doesn't make it like well it doesn't make the gamer's fault. Put it that way.
Mm.
This does not make it the consumer's fault in this regard. What does, I guess, is you forcing them to have one. They've been working without one now for ever. This game released in February.
Yeah.
You've been working without one for this long. Just make it optional. Seriously. Just make it optional. That's the solution,
mm-hmm.
I think, is to turn off that requirement and just make it optional. Because there's going to be countries that don't have a PlayStation Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what a company has to do about that. Like you bought this game, you played it for months, mm-hmm. but now because you can't link it to a store that doesn't exist in your country, you can no longer play it. That's not their fault.
Can they get a refund?
Well, maybe, you know, I would imagine in this instance, Sony would step, like if that's the way they're going to go, Sony would step up and throw the refund. The problem is it breaks the rules of Steam's refund policy. So maybe then Steam hands that over to Sony to say, this is your monkeys, your circus. You know, you got to fix this. We cannot issue refunds because of the way our policy works. We can't issue refunds. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Possible policy conflict on that one.
Yeah, why should Steam have to go through the headache of all of this? Put it on Sony to do that.
And then Sony's going to say, well, you knew about it, allegedly, beforehand.
Well,
but it's been working so long without the requirement. That's what I was talking about earlier. If it was working so fine, you had issues at the beginning for demand, right? But I haven't heard anything about that since the months since it been plagued.
Yeah.
Been out there.
I mean, obviously, if you bought the game on PlayStation 5, maybe it's on 4. I don't know if it's I don't know if which console version.
I haven't looked, so.
But obviously, if you bought it on PlayStation, then you have a PlayStation Network account. You're playing it online. That's how that works. But with Steam, yeah, that's a new thing. See, we were really cool. Last week, we talked about Ghost of Tsushima coming out on PC, and where you could connect to your PlayStation Network account. That way you could have cross-play with your friends who are playing on PlayStation with the multiplayer stuff that you could do. What do you have a concerned look on your face, RJ?
PlayStation 5 exclusive?
Helldivers 2?
Owned by Sony, so yeah, the public game exclusive. Yeah. PlayStation 5 and PC.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't on any of the other consoles. I just know if it was also on PS4. But it's not. It's only PS5. So we were talking about this last week. We were really happy that Ghost was getting the link to, you could link it to your PlayStation Network. Mm-hmm. You'll get achievements and all these cool things. And we're like, oh, great. This is nice. This is Sony making steps to integrate PC, not just the PC, but PC players into their, you know, into their universe, into their storefront. I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea. You could still buy it, but maybe you didn't want to sign into a PlayStation Network account. Apparently, though, you may be required to now. I don't know. That was something I didn't look at with the Ghosts news from last week when it was like, hey, they're doing this, and that's really cool. Yeah, but now they're forcing you to do it, and maybe you don't want to do that. I don't know. I don't know what Sony does with this. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, if the IP's owned by Sony, it's theirs. They can do what they want with it.
I know, but what do you do? Like, do you... No, so...
It's like that decision with Microsoft and Bungie. It's theirs now.
I mean, it is.
It's theirs now. We can do what we want with it.
But what...
Who do you satisfy?
You see, I don't know how Sony handles this. Like...
No, that's what I'm saying. Who do you satisfy? You satisfy your investors or whatever, or
do they?
The customers. The customer's going to come a distant second, I'm thinking.
You know that scene in Fight Club where he's on the plane?
Never saw it, actually.
You never saw Fight Club?
No.
Well, that, okay. This will mean nothing to you that I'm explaining. Edward Norton's character is sitting next to on a plane, Brad Pitt's character, mm-hmm. telling him about what he does for a living. He's an insurance guy or an insurance, whatever. Mm-hmm. He goes around and he talks about what they do, where it's like, hey, these parts or this fault in this car is causing this kind of problem. Mm-hmm. If the cost of fixing that problem outweighs the cost of compensating people that the problem happens to, then we don't fix the problem.
Yeah, business decision.
Right, exactly.
Usual business decision. Yeah.
So, my thought on that and why I went to that example, does Sony look at and see how many of these players do we have in these countries where PlayStation Network does not exist? Mm-hmm. What is that number, and how does that look on paper for numbers, but also how does that look on paper for, what's the term I'm trying to think of? Goodwill. You know, if that number's pretty low, you're on your own, people.
I was about to say, you said Goodwill. I think Goodwill didn't even matter.
Well, clearly, look at the review. The review bombing is massive.
Yeah, it doesn't matter in our business nowadays.
The review bombing on a game that's been out since February probably doesn't hold much water for people, because at this point, you've already bought it or you've already decided that you're going to buy it or not.
But that's what I was saying. That's my refunds. Are they stuck with it?
Mm-hmm. The more we talk about this, the more I lean to the fact that they probably are. The more I lean to the fact that Sony probably isn't going to do anything about this. That they're probably just going to say, we're sorry, but this is how it is. And you should have known that when you bought it, that it was going to require you to connect to PlayStation.
Yeah, I was going to say they did tell you from the get-go.
Yeah, they will drive goodwill completely into the ground and not care. They will bury that.
Because we got your money.
Right. So that's where I'm going. I hate to think. Wendy always tells me how bad I am at this. I give benefit of the doubt way too often. Mm-hmm. And here I am giving the benefit of the doubt to a mega corporation saying, like, I really wish that they would kind of play the hero. You know, we were just talking about playing villain and heroes in your games. Play the hero. Make it optional.
Which is more profitable?
What profit do you get by making a PlayStation Network account? It's free. Unless you don't have the store in the country to make it. There's no problem making a PlayStation Network account. Some people don't want to do that because they just don't want to make accounts. I totally understand that. They don't want to put their name out there in another thing. God, I remember when we had to do this so many times. We'd buy a game and it's like, you can't play this game unless you have a certain account. You have to sign up for an EA account, sign up for a Ubisoft account, sign up for these stupid. It got so annoying. Warner Brothers did it too.
Had one. EA had one.
I don't know if it was THQ or Take Two. Rockstar.
Yeah.
Rockstar Social Club.
Yeah.
You know? Which
I barely ever use, really. Much as I play,
exactly.
Much as I play GTA Online, I barely ever use the Rockstar Social Club.
That's the thing. These things you sign up for to play the one game you don't ever care about again. Until you buy another game from that same company and you've got to sign in again. And like, what was my login for this? It's so annoying.
Yeah.
My God, is it annoying. I remember you can just put a game in and play it. And I know I'm sounding like, you know, old man. But like, just put the game in, hey, play the game.
Hey, but old man remembers when times were simple. plug it in and play. That's all you needed, right?
They were, but you know what? I've got a bunch of old man games on my Steam Deck, and a lot of them don't hold up these days.
Hey, look. Pac-Man's still fun all these years
later.
Come on.
It's a Pac-Man. Mm. Yeah, I got every manner of Pac-Man on that thing now, and I love it.
Dig Dug. Yeah, go have at it.
Yeah, no. I know. They got their place. They really, really do. Yeah. It's just that without the advancement, I don't have my Burnout Paradise. I don't have my Talos. I don't know. Balatro could probably work. Mm. Going that far. There ain't much going on with that.
I'm thinking that when it's all said and done, it's just going to be, like you said, they're just going to say, sorry, with no...
Right, you're going to be left out.
Authenticity to it, because since they've already got your money, and businesses are all about profit, and they'll just weather the storm, let it ride out, and then it'll fall to the wayside in the next news cycle for something else, and then they'll bring out something else to distract you, I guess. I don't know. But either way, I think it's like we figured, they're going to be stuck with the game.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what will happen. Hate it, but I think that's what's going to happen. So anyway, we're at our next break here, and we will come back and hit up more news as we can. And we got some more stuff here, just some real quick little news bits, some more layoffs too, which was sad. But anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Music here from Super Star Wars on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. This is Luke's theme, or at least it's called Luke's theme. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here on Star Wars Day. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Empire at War. The name of the track is called Zan Consortium. I don't know. doesn't ring a bell to me in the world of the Star Wars. But if Matt was here, he would know all this stuff. He could probably, could have named some of these games that these are from too. So we decided to look it up and see if there was the same sort of requirement for Ghosts of Tsushima on PC. Because we heard that you'd be able to link your PlayStation account, you'd be able to earn trophies and, you know, play with other people who are on PlayStation 5 or whatever to cross-platform, that sort of thing. And it turns out, yeah, same place in the same place that it is for Helldivers 2, there is a, it doesn't mention any kind of third party install of anything, but it does say that it requires a third party account to PlayStation Network. That is for online multiplayer and for the PlayStation overlay. The odd part about that is that what they put in parentheses there is like, here's what it does when you do this. Online multiplayer, PlayStation overlay. If you don't care about that, do you still have to sign up for a PlayStation account to play? It says requires, but I don't necessarily know if that only means it requires it for those things you want to do or for the game itself. Helldivers 2 is a multiplayer-only game. You know what I'm saying? It's always online. It's always, you know, you're playing in a it's almost MMO-ish. You know what I mean?
Okay, there's no solo mode.
There's not, because it's a persistent world.
Okay.
In other words, what everybody is doing, Drunk Degenerates or other people who have played Helldivers would be able to back me up on this if I'm getting it right or wrong. But from what I understand, it's a bunch of planets in this system, and you have, you know, you freed that planet, and that it sort of moves, this wave of planets that you free moves further and further out as you spread your liberty all over the place.
I was about to say wave of democracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But you may log in the next day and realize that, oh man, we lost this planet to these bad guys. We got to go and take that one back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a persistent thing that is always happening.
Okay.
So every time you log in, you can see that all the players combined have moved you either further out or they didn't do enough and you've lost ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, back and forth. But that's the thing. You know, you need a PlayStation Network account to play online.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Which is a feature in a lot of PlayStation games, really.
And Helldivers isn't always online type thing. Mm-hmm. Ghost doesn't have to be. And so I don't know if you need that or not. Yeah. It says it required, but it has it in parentheses. Online multiplayer and PlayStation overlay.
Because Ghost of Tsushima is a story-based game.
You don't really
need to play online except for the multiplayer stuff that they added in later.
Yeah, it's got the option to play some multiplayer stuff.
That's completely optional. So
but
you could take the Ethernet cable out the back and play Ghost of Tsushima.
But most of all, it is just a single player type game. Let me look at some other single player games here that are so. Let me go to publisher PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Let me look here. There's Helldivers 2. I'm not going to mess with that. Let's go to Horizon. Let's go to Horizon Forbidden West.
Hey, you may have created a new game title.
Well, there's already Forza, so maybe it's Horizon Racers. Force Horizon.
No. Expand on that. Work on that when you get your free time.
See, no PlayStation account required for this.
But which one?
Horizon Forbidden West, which is the sequel on PC. You have to agree to a third party, you know, end-user license agreement, but you do not need a PlayStation account.
That is a full-out Sony property, right?
That is published by PlayStation PC LLC.
And you don't have to have a PSN network, so there's...
No. Let me look at another one. Hang on.
Okay.
Let me go some more. Let's look at Until Dawn. Just a third-party EULA agreement. Let's go to Ratchet & Clank. We know that's a Sony product. Nope. Just an end-user license agreement. Spider-Man Remastered, Sony product all the way. Nope, doesn't require it. Last of Us Part 1. Nope, doesn't need it. Returnal. Absolutely not. How many more? God of War. Nope.
Is there a multiplayer aspect to God of War?
There is not.
Okay, so that's it. What about, wait, is Control, is Control a... No, it's not.
It's not. You know what? Let me look here. I don't see anything outside of Helldivers. Predator Hunting Grounds, I think that's a multiplayer thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Let's see.
It's
that is...
like a Evolve.
Don't need it. Just a EULA. That's it. Yeah, you don't need that. You don't need a thing, a PlayStation account. That's interesting. So maybe they're going to start... I don't know. That's just really interesting that you don't need it for a lot of those things. And it kind of goes to my point that maybe you don't need it for Ghosts except for the overlay and the online.
Certain things, but not the main thing, which is the story.
Which makes sense because Helldivers 2 is an online game.
Yeah.
Online, so you have to have that. What do you have to have to play multiplayer on your console? A PlayStation Network account. Mm-hmm. Or an Xbox Live account, whatever the case may be. Yeah. You've got to have the account in order to play online. That's the barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, don't you have to have PlayStation Plus to play online? On the console itself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to play, you want to play competitively, yeah.
Apparently you won't need...
I'm fighting games, I do, yeah.
Yeah, apparently you won't need that on these PC titles. Mm-hmm. Obviously you don't because they don't have PlayStation Plus on PC. It's only on the system that it's on. Yeah. I'm sorry we're spending so much time on this. This has just sort of come to.
Well, look, it's a big thing, and a lot of folks have responded quickly to this requirement. Yeah,
even though
it was stated already.
That's the thing. I read about this, and I read that they were upset, and I just blamed it on man, nobody wants to sign up for something else when they do this. I didn't realize the undertaking of. They can't sign up for this. They are about to lose their ability to play the game.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That goes back to what we say when you buy a product and then you can't use the product. You know?
Streaming services, the TV shows you got. What was that thing with Discovery a while back?
Well, not just Discovery, but we talked about The Crew, I think, got pulled offline and pulled there. And there's a couple of other things that were pulled where it's like, nope, these things are dead. We're you may have bought it, but we're taking it, you know, we're killing it so that you can't play it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just moves into that, I guess. What do we have? What else do we have here? God, there was a lot of news, and I know we spent a lot of time on just that right there. Some old news we missed. City of Heroes had their 20th birthday a couple of weeks back.
Time flies, don't it?
20 years old for old City of Heroes.
Do you remember your character?
Mobius.
Yep.
I do. Remembered its backstory, and then I don't remember the other characters that I made afterwards.
Yeah, that was the fun part that I had with City of Heroes was the making of a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And randomly getting comments from everybody online was like, good backstory, nice backstory,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. If you put a little time into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally did too. It was great. I enjoyed making that character into it. Was my first role playing game. Mm-hmm. Or my first MMO.
Yeah.
But I treated it as a role playing game.
Mm-hmm.
I treated it even more so as a role playing game when they gave us different outfits so that we could have an alter ego type thing.
Yeah, or the team based outfit.
And they added capes, and they added, you could make your own team colors and everything else. Yeah, we did all that stuff. You had five slots for five different costumes, and one of my costumes was a completely different, it was man in suit, you know?
Yeah.
Just man, and anytime I want to change
Clark Kent.
Yep, exactly. I just Clarked him up. That was it. Yeah. And it was wonderful.
Yeah, I think it was, I was a support person. I was the, I was basically the medic.
What was your name?
Dr. Garland.
I was just the where medic. Did that come from?
Just a name that I had popping around in my head.
Okay.
Just put it that way. Since he was a medic, doctor, there you go.
Mine was based off the Mobius strip. And so I called him Mobius. And that was because he had the little symbol of the Mobius strip on his on his chest.
Yep.
The backstory, however, had nothing to do with what a Mobius strip is. Had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you just like the Mobius strip.
Yeah, I was just like, we're going to put that on there, and then I'm going to call it Mobius. There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
20th anniversary, yep.
Based on, the look was entirely not based on this, but the name and that was based on a character from, It was another video game, Legacy of Kain. Hmm. The vampire series, Legacy of Kain. There was a vampire in there named Mobius, and he had control of time, which was a big deal for...
Man, kind of close to Morbius.
Yeah, yeah, but it was Mobius. Yeah, I know. But he had control of time, which was a big deal for Azrael, who shifted between things and whatever else. Yeah, it was great. Loved that series. Good old Amy Hennig. What else do we have here? Manor Lords has sold over 1 million copies in a day. Hits the highest ever Steam player concurrence for a city builder. I'm really looking into that. I know Josh had mentioned it last time he was in the chat room talking about Manor Lords. I watched a video on it, an early access review, and I was just like, oh, man. I mean, they said, yeah, there's bugs, but the developer is very, very specific about where you will likely run into those bugs. Mm-hmm. And it's a feature to where you can... become one of the citizens of your town and wander through the streets in a first-person view or third-person view or something like that, you're likely to run into some bugs when you do that. It's mainly a city builder, I think it's a city builder survival thing. So, you know, you're plopping down buildings and putting trees over here, making pathways and doing all this. Really fun thing. Every city builder has it. Modern city builders or when, like this one, a city builder that takes place in the Middle Ages. Or the medieval times. And all of them have the ability to really zoom in to your street level and see these things and whatever. This one particularly makes you a character where you can walk around in your own city that you built. That's not the draw. It's just a thing they put in there. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it has bugs in that regard. But it looks fantastic. It looks, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, getting me there. Because City Skylines 2 is not getting me there. I haven't bought it, obviously, but it's had problems. Tons of problems. It's still got problems. Game released in October amid problems. And it's still having problems. They did not let that thing cook, you know? Mm-hmm. They didn't leave. They're like, nope, it's ready to go. Take it out of the oven. We'll reheat it later on. I don't know why I'm going to food stuff here, but yeah.
You might be hungry, but it's the same whole thing. Release now, fix later.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I think we've mentioned before, when's the last time you bought a game, put that thing up, ready to go, and the first thing you see is update.
You're always going to have day one updates, and that's fine. That's, yeah. That is now the norm, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, your game is still crap, then that day one update does nothing. And City Skylines is still crap. And I hate to say that. The first game is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The second game was supposed to, should have, like, let's take the best parts of this one, of our first game, put it in here, make it look better, let's add some new things to it that it can do, mechanics or whatever else, and then let's ship it out.
Yep.
That's all you needed to do, and they just didn't do it. Bama Brian says, remember the Cape mission was kind of tough? Yeah, it was. I remember me and James specifically... I got home that day as soon as I could and logged in and was like, let's go do this Cape mission. Holy crap, that's tough. Mm-hmm. They really, really made it difficult for you to get a cape. Mm-hmm. Or at least maybe my level was just too low to get a cape. But I can't remember.
You're going to have to earn it.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, yes. ID at Xbox took place. Independent games. Everything we got announced. There were some good things that I saw here. Specifically, let me tell you on some of them. Mm-hmm. Pal World was not a thing. Commandos Origins, that looked really good. It was set in World War II missions that are set. See, they don't tell you what this is. They just give you the name of it. But it's more of a isometric... stealthy kind of thing.
Like Invisible Ink?
Very much like Invisible Ink.
Okay.
Yes. Another one that we saw was Centum. Man, Centum, this is just, I'm reading off of IGN here. Centum is an 8-bit point-and-click adventure game coming this summer. If you like 8-bit visuals and point-and-click adventure games, Centum might be worth adding to your watch list. The gameplay from the reveal trailer reveals that the game will shift between medieval and modern settings. Comes out this summer. Got little bits of some weird, interesting things going on, but it's a point-and-click. Looked really cool, puzzly-like. And I was like, yep, I'm down. Oh, what else do we have from that? There was a lot that was there. Jackbox is doing their first adult-themed party game. The Jackbox Party Pack that they've done so many times. The You Don't Know Jack, basically, is where that comes from. But yeah, they're doing a adult-themed type thing. Mm. What else did they have? Trying to see. Oh, yeah. All You Need Is Help, which has a nice little theme song to it. But it is from the makers of, well, it's Pixel Junk. Do you remember Pixel Junk on the old PlayStation 3?
The name is familiar, but it's not.
Well, everything was called Pixel Junk this, Pixel Junk that. There was Pixel Junk Monsters, and there was Pixel Junk something else. I don't know what it was.
Probably something I've seen, just never.
Yeah, there were all these, they were like these little bitty games that, you know, were really, they were sort of just pick up and plays. Like, what do you want? You want to get into a big game right now? Nah, I just want a slice of something. You would fire up Pixel Junk and play a little bit of it. Anyway, this one's called All You Need a Help. All You Need Is Help. It's a cozy puzzle game. It looks like it probably has multiplayer in it as well. It'll be out sometime this fall. Tales of Iron 2 was announced. Hangry. What else did we get? 15 games from the Triple I Initiative Showcase. That was a lot. Some Vampire Survivor stuff as well was added in there as well. So those are the two that I saw. All You Need Is Help is Centum was, man, Centum was great. I'm looking for some more here, more stories here to tell you about, but we've only got about 7 more minutes. Xbox announced their, basically their E3 presentation is happening in June. I think it's, I can tell you right now, June 9th. It'll be a Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific, noon our time. Noon Central. And, of course, you can watch that on Twitch and on YouTube and that sort of thing. And then right after that, they're going to have a Direct. However, they've got those blacked out, and all you see is a logo, and it is very much Call of Duty. So they will have a Call of Duty Direct right after the Xbox Game Showcase for E3. Be interesting to see what we get. Getting back, I say for E3, but E3 doesn't exist, right? Not for E3 anymore. It's just whatever this is. So, looking for anything else that we may want to talk about. Oddly enough, Alan Wake 2, and I'm reading this from PC Gamer, Alan Wake 2 hasn't turned a profit 6 months into its release. And there is still no Steam release in sight. Now, remember, Alan Wake 2 was a game that they said, we're only going to sell it digitally. No physical copies. And given that it's only digital, you can buy it on your console store, sure. But the only way you can buy it on PC is if you buy it through Epic Games. And some people refuse to do that. Some say, well, it'll come to Steam soon enough, and that's where I'll buy it from. And so far, 6 months in, it hasn't.
Lack of availability. So
there's no sign of it coming there as well.
If this was an experiment, it looks like it's failing.
The CEO of Remedy said, although it sold 1.3 million copies at the start of February, the game has only recouped a significant part of the marketing and development expenses. A significant part, but not all. Pretty much reiterated that in a subsequent earnings call where they also mentioned that Remedy has experienced an operating loss of 2.1 million. I'm not sure what that denomination is, but it's not U.S. dollars.
Euros?
Maybe. Probably. The game is yet to generate royalty revenue. In contrast with other Remedy games like Control and Alan Wake Remastered, both of which had contributed to their overall royalties growing year on year. But there's not really a lot to worry about there. Alan Wake Remastered went through the exact same thing in quarter one of the year following its release. However, Remedy does not seem like they're worried about this. They seem to be okay with that.
So was Remastered digital only with the?
No, it was not. It had a physical release.
Okay, so
because I picked up a physical. I don't know. It's in stores. You can see the box for Alan Wake.
Yeah, but hearing this story, it's like the thing that sticks out to me most is the lack of options.
Lack of physical release.
This game up. So yeah.
I can't remember, you know, we talked about it, but I can't remember what the actual reasoning was, likely because of how much it would cost to produce, you know, that, but you might have had more users in that regard, in that vein if you had made a physical copy. I don't know. Mm. I know that they get more of the profits when it's not a physical copy. When it is a digital copy, the developer and publisher gets more of the revenue out of that.
Yeah, cost of purchase. Production, cost of production versus cost of what you get when you sell it. So so I can see why it's more attractive to go digital only.
Right. But I don't know. I like, you know,
I just like physical.
I like the convenience of digital. I mean, my Steam account is all digital, right? And I've got a ton of those. I like the fact that those games just sit on a hard drive and not on a shelf. I don't have shelf space. I got too many steelbooks.
Yeah. but what we don't like is the fact that at any given time, your access to it might be taken away.
But even the physical copies, any given time, your access might be taken away. Because if those...
If it requires online.
Right. Most physical copies now don't do anything but download the game to your hard drive. Mm. So regardless of whether you have a physical copy or not, they can still limit your access to play that game. Because even though you have the physical copy, you put it in your disk drive of your console, it downloads the game either from the internet or it downloads it from the disk. It doesn't play it from the disk. Mm-hmm. It downloads it from the disk. And there is somewhere on that disk, there is a key that says, yep, this person's allowed to play this title. That's it. But if they turn off the servers or anything else, it won't matter if you've got that disk or not, because it still has to register that key that's on that disk. And if there's nothing there for it to register to, you can't play the game. I mean, they can still pull it regardless of physical or not. I'm sure there probably are some workarounds for that so that you can. I've probably got a Steam Deck full of workarounds. Those old cartridge games didn't have that problem. They didn't have to dial, phone home. Hey, we got to go. We are out of time. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be doing this again next week. Sorry for rushing the ending here. Dark Forces 2 is our final game from our Star Wars stuff. It is the final duel/spirits released. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Happy Star Wars Day. And then, Mother's Day next week, by the way.